Let me read for you the gospel lesson for this day, John, the third chapter, 14 through 21. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. For those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do not do what is true, but those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The word of God for the people of God. This morning, I just want to have a brief meditation so we can sing a few more hymns. We are quickly approaching Easter. Jesus is sharing in this Gospel of John that he must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And in case you don't remember that story, I know most of you do, but just in case some of you don't remember that story, we remember what a cantankerous people those were. It's kind of amazing that they complained so much. And, you know, I really admire Moses because I don't know that I could have put up with people complaining that much for 40 years. I mean, here they were, the people of God. They had gone down into Egypt because Joseph was a leader in Egypt during a time of famine. But they grew and became a threat to the Egyptians and were enslaved for 400 years. And finally, God worked his mighty deeds, led them out of bondage, and they were thrilled. They were excited, and they left like a mighty army who had conquered the strongest nation in the world at that time. But boy, once they got into the wilderness, you just couldn't satisfy them. It was just gripe and complain, constantly. They finally got to Mount Hor, where God directed them to go around the country of Edom. And they decided that wasn't a real good strategy. Why go around? You know, it's probably like the armchair generals that we've had watching TV the last week or so, who are wondering, why are they doing what they're doing? Why did they go this way? Why didn't they secure the towns in the south before they went north? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't we do that? You know, we can always sit back and say, what's a better way? But then again, we're not the commanding general. God commanded them to go around Eden. The people griped and complained. And God got so frustrated that he sent serpents, poisonous serpents, into the midst of the people. And they were biting people and they were dropping dead all over the place. So finally they come to Moses. And they says, "Moses, Moses, we're sorry we've talked against God, and we're sorry we talked against you. Help us, help us, help us." And I don't know how Moses had the faith, but he got down on his knees, and he prayed to the Lord for these people again. And the Lord God says, "Make a serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. So he made a serpent out of bronze, and he put it on a long pole, and it was held high in the community. And anyone who was bit by a poisonous snake, who looked on that serpent, that bronze serpent, in faith, was healed, did not die. Our Lord said, I must be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. God's gift to the world in Christ Jesus is that Jesus was lifted up for the healing of the world. But instead of a bronze serpent, we hold up a cross. And when we look at faith upon the cross, we too can have hope. And we too can be healed physically and mentally and socially as a people if we hold high the cross of Christ. Jesus accepted that. Jesus embraced that sacrifice for you and for me, for the world. I remember when we started the Christian treatment program at Cumberland Hospital many years ago, wanting to be able to treat people with psychiatric illnesses with a Christian perspective. We wanted a place. You know, place is very important to people of faith. We're fighting in the Middle East over place, Jerusalem. We like our place to come and worship, and we wanted a place we felt like was our own, but they just didn't have a lot of room in the hospital. And I remember we walked down to this one room down on the corner and looked in, and there was a pool table. The room was just big enough for a full-size pool table so you could get in there and shoot a game of pool without hitting the wall. And we decided that was something that hospital could do without. And we started praying for that room. And not only did the administration give us that room as a chapel, which they still use today, but we got several thousand dollars to buy an altar, to buy candles, to buy chairs, a kneeling rail, and above all, crosses. In that chapel were three crosses. There was an empty cross over the altar, pointing to a Lord who had conquered death in the grave and was no longer there because he rules with the Father. On the left side was a crucifix with the body of Christ hanging on a cross, so those who were suffering could identify with a God who would suffer for us. And on the left wall was a Christus Victor cross, where Jesus is in a robe and he's coming off of the cross in glory. And what I always liked about that cross, that may sound a little strange, is the image of Christ looked a bit feminine. And I thought that was important for the women who were in that facility to identify with our God on the feminine side. Three crosses that people could look on for hope and healing. Yet today, we see the cross as a decoration. You can turn on QVC or the Shopping Network or the other one. I recently got cable. I didn't know there were three of those things on. but I think it was QVC, and they were selling crosses, and they were making a very big point that the cross is jewelry. It's not just religious anymore. It's jewelry. It's fine jewelry. So people all around the world are buying crosses for an ornament. There was a story not long ago of a young woman who went into a jewelry store looking for something special, and she couldn't find it. And the clerk came up and said, can I help you with something? Do you see something you like? No, I don't see what I'm looking for. She says, I'm looking for one of those crosses with a little man on it. She didn't even know it was a crucifix of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said, I must be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. But he didn't come for us to hide this cross in a church. He didn't come so we could wear crosses as jewelry. Our world needs hope and healing, and we must lift high the cross of Christ that people might have hope that this world of ours can be healed. Jesus died for that. That is the symbol of the empty cross, that He is with the Father ruling in power, but He relies on us to hold up the cross in the world that others might have hope for healing in their lives. In this season, when we talk about the cross, when we come to the cross, when we sing about the cross, let us remember out in the world to hold it high, that those who look upon it with faith might have hope and healing in their lives. Let us pray. Gracious Father, great price was paid on that cross so long ago. Yet our world still needs hope. Our world still needs healing. And just as the serpent held up in the wilderness brought that healing to those who looked upon it with faith, may we hold high the cross of Christ in our world today, that the world might have hope in this one who gave his life for all of humanity, for all time, that we might be healed. Amen.